Well, Shakespeare has a lot to say about the stars.
Men at some time are masters of their fates. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves that we are underlings.
And the bard has plenty to say about the moon.
It is a very error of the moon. She comes more nearer earth than she was wont and makes men mad.
And Shakespeare also writes about the sun.
Doubt thou the stars are fire? Doubt the sun doth move? Doubt truth to be a liar? But never doubt I love.
Now here's a question. How much did the real science of astronomy influence Shakespeare's writing? It was just the early days of the scientific Copernican revolution, after all. But on what is now the Bard's 450th birthday, we spoke to Dan Falk. He's author of the new book, The Science of Shakespeare. It examines the connections between the famous playwright and the beginnings of the scientific revolution.
In my book, of course, I talk about, you know, how much science we should read into Shakespeare's writings. But what you cannot really avoid is that there's a lot of talk about the sun and the moon and stars and even eclipses and meteors and comets. These are things that actually keep coming up throughout Shakespeare's work.
Now, one of the most important things about this interpretation, which is a lot of fun, is timing. What was going on in the universities of England and in Europe at the time of sort of the, you know, the Copernican Revolution, right, in Europe, sort of set the scene for us about what was going on with astronomy that might have sort of straddled the time that Shakespeare was doing his work.
Yeah, absolutely. So with the advantage of hindsight, we look back and we can notice that Copernicus had published his revolutionary book describing a new idea that the Earth and the planets go around the sun rather than having everything go around the Earth. So that was published 20 years before Shakespeare was born. But nonetheless, the Copernican theory was being taught in some universities.
Well, what I'd like to talk about is some of the examples that you think you've come up with. There's one interpretation of Hamlet as sort of a cosmological allegory. And it's a stretch, but I found it fascinating. What's that one?
That's the work of Peter Usher. He's a astronomy professor, and he has this sort of elaborate theory that all the action in Hamlet is sort of an allegory for competing views of how one ought to interpret the cosmos.
Do you buy it?
I'm a bit skeptical of the allegory part, but the part where I think Peter Usher has done something very valuable is that it gets us looking at some of these connections. You know, did Shakespeare know about this new star that burst into the sky when Shakespeare was a young boy? So when Shakespeare is talking about the star westward from the pole in Hamlet, could that be a reference to the supernova? That, I think, is quite plausible.
Well, Dan Falk, it's a lot of fun to look back at Shakespeare through another eye or an eyepiece of a telescope, if you want. But it was still a world and a lot of plays that were woven through with fairies and magical thinking and bad luck. So we have to kind of take it with that. Shakespeare was still very much enamored with an unnatural world.
Well, I think the key here is that it was a transitional period. So you're absolutely right. You know, there was magic, there was astrology, there were people accusing each other of being witches. But at the same time, we can look at a play like King Lear and see sort of people appealing to the gods in vain. You know, we start to see some hint maybe of a godless world where it's up to human beings to decide their own fate. And actually, speaking of King Lear, there's a wonderful exchange between Gloucester and his illegitimate son Edmund, where Gloucester is going on about how these eclipses lately seen in the sun and moon portend no good. And Edmund turns to the audience and says the opposite of that, like, oh, come on. He calls it the excellent foppery of the world. You know, we blame all of our misfortunes on the stars. And I just see this little hint of Carl Sagan there. I mean, you know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but that's I think you can actually get a little taste of that in Shakespeare's later plays.
Dan Falk is author of The Science of Shakespeare. Dan Falk, thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome.